Once again, thank you, Mike, for leading us in our singing this morning. Thank you for your service, and also thank you for the good work you do. And thank you for being here this morning as we once again open God's Word. Hope you are ready to study His Word. In a few moments, we're going to be looking at some passages there that you see on the PowerPoint. And I want to invite you to please just don't depend on the PowerPoint, but also remember that you have a Bible. And that Bible is for you to reference and for you to read for yourself and for you to go to and study so that you can help yourself as you step by step live for Jesus, but also study and grow in Christ Jesus. So you can notice there that we're going to be talking about, this is Mother's Day, it's called Mother's Day. And certainly we recognize certain days throughout the year, and this happens to stand or happen on the first day of the week, on this particular Sunday in May, and we'll do the same thing in a similar way for our fathers in June. But today, we're going to talk about the tremendous influence of a godly woman. There was a Mother's Day card in a local gift shop, and on the very front of that card, it said this, "Mom, I remember that little prayer you used to say for me every day." And then you open the card and it says, "God help him if he ever does that again." And I think all of you can relate to that, because there are times when our children do certain things that, we need prayers, or he needs prayers, or she needs prayers. Now, today we're going to talk about a portrait, if you will. We're going to talk about a picture that we can see in the Scriptures with regards to a woman, but also in regards to someone who becomes a wife and certainly a mother. And in that, you recognize the Bible has a lot of examples for us to read ourselves and to follow after, but also recognize that there's so many individuals that represent certain characteristics in the Bible, but especially there are women. There are wives and mothers that we can read about in the Old Testament, but also in the New Testament. And they teach us so many wonderful lessons that we can follow, and of course, they also influence us. Now, when you think about the word influence, I'm sure you're thinking about also the word example. Every person obviously wants to be an example, but also to be an influence for good, because you represent Jesus Christ, you represent God in the world in which you live, and because of that, you want people to go in the right direction when it comes to living for God. But especially when you look in the Old Testament, I can think of Jochebed. Just imagine you are the mother of Moses, and you make a decision that you're going to disobey the law of Pharaoh, and you're going to protect him, and you're also going to teach him the faith that he needs to have based on, of course, her understanding with regards to God and the Jews. And so I also think about the woman that went before Solomon. And I think about the situation there, and certainly she's thinking about overall, mostly about the safety of that child and making sure that she makes a decision, but also he makes a decision, Solomon, not to harm this child. So she makes the right decision, even to give him up. When you think about all the other, and there's dozens, when you think about dozens of examples of women that are found in the Bible itself. But because it's Mother's Day, I want you to know this. If you've been blessed to have a mother, but also you've been blessed to have a godly mother, a Christian, someone who is a follower of Jesus Christ, if you've been blessed, I know this about you. I know that you're going to live your life and you're going to benefit from that the rest of your days. To the day you die, because you have this mother that's given you such example, but also has influenced you in so many different ways. And I know you're thankful. I know you're appreciative. I know you're grateful for the fact that you have someone like that. It's like having a permanent marker And her influence has been a permanent marker in your life. Now, today we're going to have 3 points. And we're going to work on these 3 points, and then we're going to be dismissed, and then you're going to spend time with your mother. Hopefully you'll find some place to eat, that the line is not too long, and you'll be able to enjoy that time with her and your family. Now, the first thing I want you to think about in our text, in our Bible today, is the influence of the home that a mother has, or the influence that she puts upon a home. Now, the Bible presents, and I think we all understand this, a certain portrait that a mother has, and the Bible calls it a role that she is involved in. And by the way, it's based on the purpose, the divine purpose of God. It's based on what He has established with regards to a woman and a wife and a mother. Now, I think you all understand as well that Hollywood and also the feminist movement and also, yes, I'll say it, even the media, they have their view and their message with regards to a woman. And they work hard to present their view and their belief, and guess what? It's not based on the Bible. But they've worked very hard over the many, many years to project this kind of message about what a woman should be and who she should be. And their message is very effective, by the way, and it's very clear. When they look at a woman these days, they say this, well, you know, a man and a woman, there's no difference. Come on now, you think about that for a moment. There's no difference. Oh, by the way, you determine the gender that you're going to be in your life. Really? Is that really something that you actually believe and promote? Oh yeah, you can be masculine, you can be militant, you can be rough, you can be mean. And you say, that's their concept. And I'm thinking about that. You know, in the Bible, in the book of Genesis chapter 2, we have this description here of what God says in the very beginning. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. This is from the Bible. This is from the book of Genesis. This is from the example, but also giving us a description of creation. Then it says, therefore, man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Biologically, you have a man and a woman. And if you really think that there's no difference, I think about this. She's able to have a human being in her stomach. You know what I'm talking about. And it grows to the point where it's going to now birth. And she's going to give birth to this child as a human being. Not only that, she's able to feed this child, this human being. I'm not able to do that. Anybody, any man here has ever given birth to a baby? No. There's a difference. There's an obvious difference. It's called biology. It's fundamental. You're either a man or a woman. And the Bible establishes that. And this man and woman, if they join together as husband and wife, they can have children. And then you have a mother and a father. They have a relationship. It's all divinely purposed by God Himself. Not by Hollywood. Not some movement. And not by the media. Not whether or not I say it's true or not. It's based on the Word of God. It's the will of God. And so that's the reason why, folks, if out there people give a negative message about what God has established, then shame on them. There's an absolute when it comes to what God says about women and men and parents. And think about the relationship that you have. Now, to me, there's nothing that compares when you think about the fact that you have the influence of a woman, a wife, and a mother. And when you think about the fact that, yes, you have education, and yes, you have peers, And yes, you learn so many things from so many different avenues and different people in your life. There's nothing that compares to the fact that you have a mother that's going to teach you, but also teach you so significantly about things in your life. And aren't we glad that we have a mother and also someone that loves us to such a degree that's going to take the time to influence us and help us. Why? Because she understands her role that is assigned to her on this earth by God Himself. And that the mother and the father join together in this relationship with their children, and now they are progressing in their relationship together, but also in the Church of Jesus Christ. And again, it's all based on Scripture. Now, here's where you have your Bible today, and I hope that you will take the time, and you'll notice I have a bigger Bible today. And the reason why is because I can't see as well as I used to. I need some bigger print here, and I'm going to take the time to read with you from the Word of God. Now, if you have your Bible, let's go ahead and just take some time to do this. And I want us to benefit from this. I want us to read some Scripture. Now go to Titus with me, and we're going to look at Titus chapter 2, because in Titus chapter 2, you have the Apostle Paul talking to these brethren in this relationship with them, and he says some remarkable things. Now notice in verse 1 of chapter 2 of Titus, "But as for you, speak the things which he has, which are proper to sound doctrine." Wait a minute now. Sound doctrine? What is sound doctrine? Well, that's healthy teaching. That's the literal translation of the word there. And did you notice here that it goes on to talk about the relationship between older men and younger men, older women and younger women, and so forth? But I want you to notice what he says here beginning in verse 4, "And that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be," he says, "blasphemed." Now you go over to the book of Timothy and look at with me, if you will, the Timothy chapter 5 and verse 14. Now 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 14 is another important verse, because in that verse, it's going to describe something to you and to me that's very important with regards to our relationship to our mother, but also to our wife in our relationship together. Notice he says, and there's a word I want you to see there, "Therefore I desire that you, younger widow, marry, bear children, manage the house, give no opportunity to the adversary to speak reproachfully." Now, if you take these words together, and there's a specific, let's just say, marker here, and it's up there, "manage the house." Again, we have a definition here. Now, when you think about the word "managing a house," when you think about the fact that he's talking about being a homemaker, what comes to mind? What comes to your mind when you think about this phrase here and the definition here? He's talking about being a home manager, a homemaker, and who is that? That's someone who is a wife and a mother. And what does that really represent? That represents the fact that she is influencing this home to the degree that she's helping those in the home atmosphere to love God and love them with all the heart, mind, strength, and also everything within them. And the reason why is because she wants the same thing for her children and for her husband as well. And she's managing the home in this manner. Now you've got to think about the context. Think about how they were living during that particular time. Think about your mother, your wife in this relationship. And it's different than our situation today, isn't it? Could you imagine growing up in the first century? From that particular point on to even into the 1800s? It wasn't until, 1935 that we had a president and a Congress that passed what is called the Social Security Act. And you're growing up and you're raising a family, and guess what? It was hard. It was hard. It was difficult. Not only on that, you think about the persecution they were under and they had to face on a daily basis. It was working hard. You get up in the morning, you work all the way to the end of the day, and you do it all over again. They didn't have a Saturday and a Sunday, a weekend off, by the way, did they? No. It was hard. It was difficult. And Paul knew this. Paul understood this. And so everyday living the Christian life, he represents but also understands that here's a relationship that the church has with each other, and they're all in the same boat, and they're all striving to do the same thing, to live the Christian life and to influence for good all those that they come in contact with, and especially if you have a godly Christian woman that's in the home, the influence that's going to take place. And she makes that home, she helps to make that home a place that's godly. How? Through her actions and also how she walks and how she lives her life. Now here's a very good question that really needs to be considered. Is it God's design and purpose for a woman, for a wife who becomes a mother, to only be an influence through her husband and children with regards to things of living the Christian life? Now, again, you might say, well, David, I think that's true. I think that's the thing that we need to be aware of, obviously, and the Bible says that it's true. But I want you to think about something else. In 1 Peter chapter 3, go there with me. Remember, here's Peter now. He has a wife and he has a mother-in-law. And he's writing now to these Christians under the same circumstances, living a very difficult life, but they're making it. But he was also concerned about this. Look at chapter 3 and notice what he says in verse 1. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands. Notice, even if some do not obey the word, they're not believers, they're not Christians yet. They, without a word, you're not going to nag them. You're not going to make them be a child of God, by the way. But notice what he says. That you may be won by the conduct of their wives. That's the influence. That's the actions. That's the lifestyle, the characteristics of someone who's now going to be in this relationship. And your ultimate goal as someone in this relationship, as a wife and as a mother, is to make sure, hopefully, to the best of your ability, that this person, this husband, becomes a believer. And it says, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear, do not let your adornment be merely outward, but arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with all the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. So God looks at you today as a wife, as a mother, in relationship with your children, and especially your husband as well. Certainly, He looks at it as precious, especially when you're conducting yourself as someone who represents Jesus Christ. Now the Bible says also in 2 Timothy chapter 1, and there we have this wonderful example of Paul writing to the evangelist, but young man in Christ Jesus, who was a preacher in Ephesus. And he says this, and I'm going to start with verse 2. He says, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. Now notice, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that in you which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. And therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Now, I think you understand, and the reading here is very clear, isn't it? Paul's looking back and he's thinking about this young evangelist, and he can see certain things in him, and the reason why is because he had a grandmother and a mother, and they influenced his life. You know what that word genuine faith means in the Greek? It means unhypocritical. And Timothy got his faith from his mother, and she got her faith from her mom. And because of that, now Paul's looking back at Timothy in the text, and he sees something. He sees somebody that's strong in doctrine, strong in the teaching of what he's been taught. But also recognizing that he's going to be a leader in a way in which he's able to teach people the Word of God in Ephesus. Why? Because the influence of someone called Eunice and a mother called Lois. And I please want to remind you of something. Just because you have a grandmother and a mother who has actually shared their faith with you doesn't mean that you inherit it. It means that you have listened to them, they have taught you, you've understood the Word of God, and now you make your own decision. It's based on your own faith step. You make the step of faith towards God and Jesus Christ. And that step now is continuing, and it grows. Why? Because you have your own relationship. Why? Because you had a godly influence in your life. But also that person, listen, that person is now going to teach you, called mother. Now I think Mike will say the very same thing that I believe, and that is your first youth minister is your mother and father. Did you get that? Your first youth minister is your mother and father. And you teach your children from the day they are born. You start the process. You don't just rely on him or me or anybody else. It's your responsibility. Your ultimate responsibility. You're going to give an account. I'm going to give an account for my children, as Sarah will, as we think about our relationship with them. Four scholars were talking about the Bible. They were talking about the translations of the Bible. One said, I think the King James Bible is the best translation because it's so eloquent. And I would agree, it is eloquent. And then you had another scholar, and also he looks at the Bible and has studied the Bible. I think the American Standard Bible is the most, let's just say, it's the best I can think of because it's so literal in its translation. It moves the person to the passage to see it for what it is. I put all my confidence and feelings of accuracy in the text itself because of the American Standard Bible. Well, there's another one that said, well, you know, I think the Moffat Bible is the best translation. It has such penetrating words, he said. The turn of the phrases that capture the attention of the reader. But there was a fourth man, a fourth scholar, and said, you know, the King James Version is a great version. The American Standard is a great version. The Moffat Version is a great version. But I have to admit, I personally prefer my mother's translation. And the other three, what do you mean? I mean, that, she didn't read the Bible and study the Bible like we have. She doesn't know the Greek and the Hebrew like we do. What do you mean, your mother's translation? They chuckled. And he said, yes, she translated the Bible. She translated each page of the Bible into her life. And because of that, and because of her influence, I was able to be the person that I am today. Now, secondly, this morning, I want you to think about something else when it comes to the influence of a mother. And you see here, under less ideal circumstances, times will come in a mother's life, in a woman's life, knowing here's the family that I've been, you know, I have a responsibility for, along with the husband and father. But, you know, life is going to throw all kinds of things at you, and it's not always going to be ideal. So I want you to turn with me to the book of Proverbs. We're not going to be able to study this word by word and verse by verse, but I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter 33. And remember here, we have an example here of someone who is actually giving his testimony to that he has a wife and she has great influence in his life. And so now the king, Lemuel, obviously in this book of Proverbs in chapter 31, is telling us in verse 10 through 31 the fact that I have a wife of valor and also a woman of excellence. And she has imparted with me and to me and my children some things that I have learned, some things that I realize in my life. Now, the word here that you see there in this chapter, in chapter 31, for the person and the name of Lemuel, it actually means God word or God is bright. And we're talking about Solomon. And do you realize that his mother is Bathsheba? And you remember the story of David and Bathsheba, right? We're not going to go into that situation, but you know by this, based on the text itself and your reading of Proverbs 31, we find here that Bathsheba became a great mother, and not only that, a wife. And so David says, or rather Solomon says, let me share with you some things that I have learned with regards to this woman who is my wife and mother. First of all, notice he says she is a person of strong conviction. He also says she is dignified. She also is someone that has a sense of humor and should be optimistic and is optimistic about the future itself. She speaks wisdom. Now, what does that mean? That means she is going to be someone that's not going to speak nonsense. She's not going to speak gossip before her family and to her family with regard to somebody else. She's also someone who is going to be kind. She teaches by example. She teaches by being compassionate. And she's also an industrious type person. Now again, I don't have time to read this morning all of those particular verses. I want you to do that for yourself. And you're going to go back through this list in your mind and see that Solomon is saying exactly what we all know to be true. And that is a wife and a mother have these characteristics that we can follow ourselves. Rufus Jones often tells a story from his childhood. And it seems like one day he was around 12 or 13, and his mother said, now I've got to leave, I'm going to town, I've got some errands to do, and you have some chores to do, and when I get back, I want these chores to be done. Well, she leaves, and all of a sudden, here comes his friends, and they show up, and they're after him to play with them, and they play, and they play, and they play. He's not paying any attention to any of his duties and responsibility, his chores. And he looks down the road, and here she comes in her car. You ever had that feeling before? And he knew, he realized, man, when she parks the car and she comes in, she's going to give me the biggest, the worst whipping of my life. Because he didn't do one thing that she asked him to do. So she's now coming in the door. He's there in the living room and he's waiting on her, knowing that she's going to snatch him up and take him upstairs and give him a beating. I'm not supposed to say that, you know, these days, but that's what's going to happen. Well, she sits this boy down. And he says in this description that he'll never forget the situation again. And it affected him so much because instead of giving him a whipping, she sat down with him on the bed and she started praying. And she prayed earnestly And she did it over and over and phrase after phrase, the same thing over and over again. Lord, make a man out of him. Lord, make a man out of him. Lord, please make a man out of him. And in that story, he talks about remembering the special feeling of what he said, standing in the weeping arms of love. Standing in the weeping arms of love. That's a mother for you. Now this morning, I want to close with how you can become a great woman, a wife, and a mother to children. And again, I can stand up here and say many, many things about Sarah, and you can say the same thing about your wife and your mother as well. It was such a blessing for me and for our family to be together yesterday in Milton for little Peyton's two-year-old, our second birthday. And to see our family and friends to come and see the joy, but also the smile on his face, and especially you got all these toys, and there's so many people there, it's like Christmas, and it was amazing to experience such a wonderful party like that, and to realize that our babies are here, our children are here, our friends are here. And Sarah has such a great influence on their lives, and they love her so much. And they gave her a t-shirt. And all the names of the grandchildren, all seven, are on that t-shirt. And I'm just wondering, why didn't they give me a t-shirt, you know? But anyway, no, she deserves, I don't wear t-shirts out in public. Anyway, that was a very special moment. Now, when you think about a woman who becomes a wife and a mother, and she has an influence on so many individuals, if you're able to have children, she wants to make sure that you become the kind of person that you can be in that family. I remember the story about a mother, and she went to a gospel meeting. And she talks about how that this speaker was someone that really is well known in our brotherhood. And during that gospel meeting, she obeyed the gospel. And so she wrote him a letter. And she was convicted because of the messages that I want to go out and I want to be a missionary. I want to go out and preach the gospel. And of course, she was young in the faith. She really knew everything about what the Bible says in that regard. But she said, well, in some way, I want to teach the gospel to the lost of the world. And in this conversation, in this letter that she said, she mentioned that she was the mother of 12 children. And so in her desire to go into the world and preach, or let's just say teach women and teach children, she was asking for advice. And so he responds, and he says, my dear lady, I'm so happy to hear that you have been added to the body of Christ and have a desire to teach people about Christ. But I am even more delighted to know that God has already provided you a mission field, your 12 children. She got the point. That's where you start, right? With your children. You have a mission field in your own home. I'm going to give you another example. Here's a mother that had 17 children. Yes, that's true. 17 children. And she had these principles that she shared. And I want to read these principles of how you can teach your children. And I know you're not going to remember them, but maybe two or three you can remember. Especially since she said this. She said, spend time each day praying to God for your children. Number two, spend time once a week with each child to discuss spiritual matters. Can't you do that? Subdue self-will in a child and thus work together with God and husband to save his or her soul. Number four, teach the child to pray as soon as he or she can speak. give the child nothing but that he cries for, and only what is good for him if he asks for it politely. To prevent lying, punish no fault, which is freely confessed, but never allow a rebellious, sinful act to go unnoticed. Number 7, commend and reward good behavior. Strictly, says number 8, she says, observe all promises you have made to your child. And I will add, personally, number 9. Don't be afraid to apologize to your children for actions that are not right. And I've done that. God has blessed us with our mothers. And please, let's not diminish the divine purpose that God has placed upon all of us to reach our goal and meet our goals in our relationship that God has given to us. So ladies and wives and mothers, God has given you a role. And he's given you a purpose. And in that purpose, you can be the person that God wants you to be a person of great influence on your family. Because you have experienced yourself, haven't you? You've experienced the fact that you have someone that has shaped your life and helped you in your everyday Christian life. Why? Because you see, you have a future, and in your future, you have passed on your faith and your belief and your standard based on the Bible itself. But there's one last thing I want you to remember, please. And that is, you do have something very powerful as a mother. And that's the power of prayer. The power of prayer. So today is Mother's Day. And we're going to give thanks to all the mothers today, to all the women in our services, and those watching on Facebook. We want you to know that we love you and appreciate you. And as you leave the services today, there is going to be a special gift for all ladies. Now, many of you have received a gift already. But if you did not receive a gift, Sarah and I have a gift for you at the end of the service. And please see her at the table, you can pick out something for you because we love you. If you're here today, we know the most special gift of all is the gift of Jesus Christ as our Savior. If you're here today and you need to respond to the invitation, you've been touched in some way to realize that you need Jesus in your life. You need God in your life. The greatest influence of your life of all. Then certainly you can make that step and become a child of God today. If you need prayer, you need encouragement, we're here for you. Let's all stand and sing as Brother Mike comes and lead us.